Let's talk fish. The news that state officials recently approved an expansion of the Northern Michigan commercial fish hatchery got us wondering, how important are fish hatcheries in the Great Lakes State and how long have they been around? Gary Whalen is with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, where he is a research program manager. Gary, when were the first hatcheries started in Michigan and where?
Well, the first hatcheries were begun in the early 1870s. Our first hatchery actually commenced operation in 1874 in Pokegon. Prior to that, there was a federal hatchery down around the Detroit area that operated in 1873.
What was the reason they were needed?
Well, even by the 1870s, that people think as the good old days, our fisheries resources were in decline, serious decline across the basin. Most of the inshore populations of fish that people could get at with relatively small vessels and equipment that they had at the time were overexploited and, frankly, in very bad shape. Fish were difficult to find, and certainly a lot of the commercial fishermen were not doing very well. The inland fisheries were equally being overexploited, too many people taking too many fish beyond what the self-sustaining abilities of our systems have. In addition, of course, habitat loss was rampant at that time, everything from incredible pollution of our river mouths to the construction of the first large dams, most of which were to run sawmills and other sorts of mechanical power or for grist mills. In addition to that, of course, was a large-scale, essentially, mining of our forests, where we kind of came through and essentially cut the entire state within the first 20 years between 1870 and 1890. The entire system was essentially cut down, logs floated down rivers. The habitat loss was just pretty frightening and pretty amazing when you go back. So the 1870s were a pretty bad period, and one of the responses was to build fish hatcheries and put fish back in the water of various types. In addition, it was really the only tool they had available because the regulatory opportunities for those folks at that time were pretty much nil.
What is the what's called the Fry and Johnny Fishseed era?
Well, interesting, in the 1870s, the ability for fish culturists to produce large-sized fish for stocking was really beyond their abilities. They could do small numbers of them, but they were certainly able to rear large numbers of fry of various types of species. And some of them, of course, were native species that people wanted for food purposes, things like lake whitefish are a great example of that, that, of course, are still an actively sought commercial fish on the Great Lakes, but certainly it was one of the major fish they were catching at the time. But the other part of the equation is the spreading of fish kind of willy-nilly across the landscape, which is sort of the Johnny Fishseed era, where we put fish of every imaginable type everywhere you can imagine, everything from American eels from the East Coast to certainly the successful introduction and naturalization of brown trout populations. Chinook salmon were brought in, carp were brought in, and they were put everywhere you can possibly imagine. And part of that was because people like to bring their own foods and things that they're familiar with. Great examples are brown trout and carp from Europe. At that time, of course, we saw a large influx of European settlers, and they wanted stuff that they were familiar with. And those were fish they were familiar with, so that was the demand to rear those and put those in the water. And the Michigan Fish Commission that was formed in 1873 was responding to those demands by the populace.
And then, of course, through the 30s and 40s, we saw the sport fishing community just grow and grow. And then you call the period from 1964 to the present the holistic era of fish mm-hmm. hatchery expansion. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you just step back one short period back to what I call the instant fish period, instant fishery is really an engineering approach where we would produce fish of catchable size and put them in the waters. And for all intents and purposes, you were catching fish that you could buy at a market in our waters. And we did that on a whole-scale basis. But the price of that was unbelievable. Even in the 1960s, it was considered that the cost of a legal-sized fish to the creel was a buck apiece and $63, which is fairly expensive. So by the time 64 came around, there were two things that occurred at that time. One was a recognition we couldn't continue on the wholesale stocking of catchable size fish across the landscape. That was not sustainable. The other thing that was is that we wanted to turn the Great Lakes into an economic engine from a fisheries perspective for Michigan, certainly, and certainly other states grabbed on after us. And it was the recognition that you could use fish to shape ecosystems. And in this case here, we had huge numbers of invasive alewives that were there because there were essentially no predators to control them. And in this case, Chinook salmon and coho salmon, coho first, Chinook second, were brought in to control those fish. and actually essentially biomanipulated and converted what was a huge crop of what many people thought were pretty worthless fish, because they're washing up by the front-end loader fulls on our beaches and really soiling our beaches, and converting them to a pretty remarkable sport fishery that we have today. So the idea is that you could bioengineer and use fish for various purposes, not just for sport fishing.
Fascinating. How many hatcheries do we have in Michigan right now, Gary?
We have 6 state hatcheries, and there are 3 federal hatcheries.
And what role do you see those hatcheries playing as you look into the future?
Yeah, they play 5 roles. 4 are the main ones. 1 is an additional one. The first one is to reintroduce extirpated species, species we've lost. Lake sturgeon, for example, on the Onondagan River is a really good example of that. The second is to provide for rehabilitation of degraded fish populations. Walleye stock, certainly in Saginaw Bay, is a classic example that where walleye had been essentially extirpated and lost by 1980. And because of the use of hatchery fish, we've rehabilitated. Now it's a world-class walleye fishery. The third purpose is for ecosystem balance, and that's the one I referred to a few moments ago, where we talked about using salmon to rebalance the system, where we had way too many alewives and too many prey species, and balance that into a balanced system that functions properly. The fourth reason is to develop new sport fisheries. You know, anglers pay most of our operating costs. We certainly have a responsibility to provide that economic benefit back to them and to the state of Michigan. Now, great examples are the use of muskies in many places, although muskellunge are a native species. There are many waters we put them in where they're not native but provide tremendous sport fisheries. And the last one, which is not used all that often, is that we do use them for management experiments or for research purposes. And that doesn't happen very often, but I think those 5 purposes will continue into the future.
Gary Whalen with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Fun to talk with you. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you very much for having me today.